In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Such intensity do we find in the days leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then in those overwhelmingly joyful days following when Jesus begins to appear to his followers. And from the week before Lazarus Saturday, that whole week before, until the appearance to Thomas 8 days after the resurrection, so really almost a 3 week period, the church follows these events in real time, as it were. Each teaching, each miracle, and each injustice, each trap, every step followed daily as it happened in real life. So today is the first day that we as church step back and kind of catch our breath to reflect on what we have witnessed and what we have experienced. Today we go back and revisit both the burial and the first discovery of the risen Jesus. Key to this discovery is a group of faithful women who went to the tomb early that Sunday morning to anoint the body of a dead friend, of one they thought was the Messiah. And by going to anoint the body of Jesus, these most faithful women become the first witnesses of his resurrection. But as we now step back and reflect on this act, it might make us curious. Why were they doing that in the first place? I mean, seriously, what is the point of going to anoint a dead body? Now, who does that? Who has a grave opened 2 days after burial in order to anoint the body? And for what? For what? What's going on? Well, I'm glad you asked. Although, if you're looking for a logical answer, I'm afraid you'll be a little bit disappointed. What was going on was an expression of love that had no practical value whatsoever. It was an expression of love in this way. Jesus died late on a Friday afternoon. By the time Joseph and Nicodemus get permission from Pilate and lay the Savior's body in the tomb, it's sunset. It's sunset already. And we all know that the liturgical day begins at sunset, and because it was a Friday, that means the Sabbath was beginning. For a faithful Jew, that meant no work, including no funerals. It was a sacred day of rest, and that meant rest from pretty much everything. And so the Savior's body is taken from the cross, placed in this tomb in a big hurry with no funeral rites being performed whatsoever. As you can imagine, that fact did not sit well with these women. Of all the people they had ever known, to not get even the smallest semblance of a funeral, for that to be Jesus, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. They wouldn't even do that to their enemy, let alone their best friend. So they had to wait out that longest Sabbath of their lives, all the while enduring that overbearing and horrible grief, knowing that Jesus, who was maliciously prosecuted and crucified, did not get a funeral, not even the customary anointing. And to these women, that detail was unacceptable and unbearable, because to them, that showed disrespect. That, to them, was a symbolic lack of love. Now, to be sure, it's not like they had a choice, but surely that's what they felt. That's what they were going to be feeling inside. How could Jesus be the one person to get nothing at his death? So as soon as the Sabbath was passed, very early on Sunday morning, these women did something not only strange, not only impractical, but even foolhardy and a bit dangerous, and by the way, expensive. You know, when Jesus gave us the greatest commandment, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Heart is first. Did you ever notice that? Heart is first. That's no accident. Mine doesn't even come second. Mine comes like third place. Mine's getting the bronze medal. Heart is first. Love from the heart knows something deeper than logic and deeper than practical. Love from the heart says our Savior did not get a proper burial, and even if we can't do everything, what little we can do, we're going to do. That's the heart speaking. But do something we must. So out of the love of their heart, they go perform in unpractical, illogical, not to mention expensive act early that Sunday morning. And we should also pause and give kudos to Joseph and Nicodemus. They were both members of the council that had just condemned Jesus to death. They were members. And they stuck their necks out to be sure Jesus was at least buried and not just abandoned like some forgotten stranger. Again, this was not a logical move. It certainly wasn't a career move. This was loving God with the whole heart. This was the heart saying, I couldn't stop the malice as a single voice, but I can do this little something. So back to the women, being willing to love in a very heart-forward way not only revealed their deepest nature, their most primal and divine form of love, the love that comes first, but allowed them to become the first witnesses of the resurrection, the event that changed the course of humanity. Mary Magdalene and her companions become the first apostles of the risen Christ, the first sent out to preach the good news to the apostles. Mary Magdalene preached to the preachers. She taught the teachers. Now, this is the flower that blooms. This is the fruit that is produced from heart-forward love. Heart-forward love is what we celebrate today as we step back as church and reflect a little more deeply on the events of the Lord's Passion. And if it's something to celebrate, perhaps it can also be something to emulate, this heart-forward love. And no, I'm not suggesting that we suspend logic all the time. We don't even have to. I'm not suggesting that we ignore that great gift of our minds, which, by the way, is also capable of love. Jesus did say, love God with all your mind. What I am saying is that times and opportunities regularly present themselves in this life in which God invites you to let your heart lead, to let your heart go first, where the heart can say to logic, you can sit down for just a minute, I got this one. When the heart knows instinctively what genuine love demands, even something as crazy as opening a tomb 2 days later to anoint a dead body. That wasn't logic. That was God inviting the heart to a genuine love that runs deeper. God inviting the heart to lead. And in the end, that is what we celebrate today. Amen.